So let's finish up. So we talked about the ability, according to the Ben Yonah, he had a slightly different gear set. You could be Ovid Hashem. You could serve a being, namely the most ultimate awesome one, Hashem. Even Amanashal of the Kabbalah Platz. Only in the condition to not receive a reward, which is a very, very high level. He proves this because there is such a thing from servants that you purchase, that they worship the master without receiving any reward. We talked about how we needed to fully understand that because, as I think Petrus brought up, even that servant is worshiping the master in order to, or servicing the master in order to not get whipped. Right, so isn't that a reward?
Personal incentive is,
right,
so you can always find a motive and incentive.
Right, so verbatim sentence is not saying that there's no motive. I'm saying there's no reward. Right? So, you're talking about punishment. Lack of punishment is not a reward. Reward is plus. Reward is above. Like, if I wanted to give you a present or a gift, a plus for your birthday, it would not be not killing you. That would not be a reward. A reward would be buying something that you want. That's a very basic way to put it. But in psychology, we refer to positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement, punishment, etc. So positive reinforcement is the introduction of something positive. Negative reinforcement is the taking away of something negative. So we're still talking, this is a form of reinforcement, but it's not positive. It's not positive. It's completely negative reinforcement.
We're saying negative reinforcement is not a plus.
No, what do you mean? Yeah, I'm saying that negative reinforcement is not a plus. I don't think people would see it that way. Like, you have things that bother you now. You might not know what all those things are. If I took something of that away, you'd feel more relieved. But if I'd asked you right now what you want, you'd probably tell me just something that's on your mind. But
relief.
I don't think that's the best way to say it. I think the way I said it before is just a little bit better. There's positive reinforcement, which is getting something as a plus. Then there's negative reinforcement, which is taking away a minus. Taking away a minus, the Rabbinian is not denying a servant has that even to a master that purchases him, and we're supposed to have that to our creator. That's considered as almanashad al kalpa pras. That is doing it on the condition not to receive a reward. It even sounds like to receive a reward, it sounds like you're getting something. The prevention of losing something, that's not receiving a reward. That's lacking, taking, you know, the presence of something bad or evil. It'd be taking away an evil. So again, the existence of such a thing. But to get to such a level that we can worship God, where we're not expecting anything in the future at all. We're only doing it. In fact, we don't want Hashem to give us something in the future. That's the highest form. He explains, Gam Ken, this is the third line, at the very end. Gam Ken Yesh Lo Adam Avot Hashem Amanash Lo Lekal B'Pras. Man should also serve as his creator on the condition not to receive a reward. Ela Mipnei Chesed Shigmal Kvar. Rather, why? Because of the kindness that he bestowed upon him previously. Mala Tarav Shiroi Lekach.
Gratitude.
Gratitude, right? And because of the status and prestige of the master, that he is appropriate for such a service. So we have to inspect both of these variables. Because Zoit Titavod the Shemiava, the Rabbeinu Yonah says this is Ahava. So this is a weird sort of Ahava, at least at first blush. So let's talk about the first thing. Again, we're all talking within Almanash Lo Kal B'Pras on the condition not to receive reward. So therefore, Ahava is serving Hashem because of the good stuff they did for us before. Can you explain that out a little bit more? Because Hashem did nice things for me before, therefore I'm going to service him. That's what?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Is gratitude expecting a reward? I'm going to put it to you this way.
No, exactly.
Someone who saved your life, you do something nice for them, you're not expecting them to save your life again. You want to show gratitude. Now again, that might have egoist roots.
But for the Rabbeinu Yonah, we shouldn't. The whole thing that we're grateful for is all past tense, and that makes the way he said it. It's a big deal because that doesn't just mean so I don't get other things. That means, God, if you discontinued my existence, which is what you have already given me, I'm still grateful for what you gave me.
Right.
And that's why I do it.
Yeah.
Not to show you that I'm worth continuing.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that is a very big hashkafic deal, but I think that's exactly what we're saying. The Etiosi, which is a commentary on davening, one of the first things saying the first thing to say to him is Modani lefanecha melechai v'kayam. So we thank Hashem for returning our soul, Shechazar Tabi, Nishmati. Thank you for returning my soul. He quotes a Zohar that says that Hashem really has, he judges us every night and says that's really not worth it for me to send your soul back. I'm just going to keep it up here. And he just goes, yep, that's pretty fair. You really didn't live up to it. You're dead. So Hashem says, but out of the kindness of my heart, I'm sending him back anyway. But oh, it's not fair. He's not living up to this part of the bargain. So every single day Hashem says, I'm going to give him another chance. I'm going to give him another chance. We're never worthy. It's getting as close as possible.
It's a weird concept. It's such an unhealthy situation.
I don't think so.
Never being able to
because accomplish. Yeah. Oh, because the reality is that look,
no matter like, what we do, we can't think.
No, because I'll tell you, there's a certain bar that's perfection. We'll never live up to perfection, and perfection.
It's great, and an abstraction
is what's expected from us. However, in reality, as long as we're trying our best, that's enough.
Pushing someone too hard is how you get them to accomplish amazing things. Creating a goal beyond what they thought they could accomplish is how you get them to become people they never thought they could be. Even though they fall short of it, they still are way higher than they thought they could be. But they also feel like nothing.
No, I just totally disagree. Saying that, I feel like I try to be one of those people. You push really, really hard, and you know that you can always do better. You try, but like you see every achievement on the way, and when you know that you're running at 100 miles an hour. Which I'm not, but like when you feel that you're really giving it your all, and you know that even though you're giving your all, you're still not doing the best because no one can be perfect. You know that that's good enough.
Well, that's not such a content feeling.
To me, it really is.
I'm saying that could be a positive thing. That's
no,
not
because I know that bar of perfect meaning. I'll tell you why it is because that bar of perfection is set down to me. I am perfection.
But this makes it sound like God's not happy with what we've done. Like we go to sleep, he wants to keep our neshama.
No, the angel. So that is totally different.
But I think it's true though. It's true. I think the biggest tzaddik in the world. You like for what Hashem gave him, he's nothing. What he's doing, his sakar sotov, is nothing comparatively to the chesed that God gave him. It doesn't amount.
That's not true. What are you talking about? Maybe he's trying his all. If he's trying his all,
no matter how much you do, you can't, God did so many nisim and aflos and so much for us and cares about us so much that we can't necessarily make it up to him. So
we're not supposed to make. We can't make it up to what? What does that even mean to make it up to God?
Well, that seems to be like what God is saying in the Rabbeinu Yonah that you have made up to. Oh no, not Rabbeinu Yonah. Like the thing about us going to sleep. That we haven't made it up to him, so he has to find another reason to give us our neshamas back.
If Shem made a deal, if you mean paying up our side of the deal, then I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, we can't pay it.
Okay, so that's because the it's kind of like
how
this.
We create it. It's not our fault.
You lend your friend. This is usher, by the way. Don't do this. Okay, it's actually usher. But you lend your friend $100, and I thought most of it. I'm giving you a loan now. I want $115 in the future.
Okay. Ribbis.
And yeah, it's ribbis.
It's bad. Funny though because I just borrowed $100 from him.
Hopefully he's not expecting $115 back.
Nope.
Anyways, so your friend agrees, right? And then, like, you see your friend's having a tough time, who really can't make money, and you, like, peek through his window on things, he's eating crackers and ketchup for breakfast or something. Like, you know, something really sad, or dinner. And so you're like, come on in.
Sorry.
Shalom, shalom. And so you tell him, you're like, listen, whatever, just give him $100, it's fine. Or you tell him, listen, I forgot, I don't care. Right? The thing is that, he borrows again money for you, and I guarantee you're going to do the same thing. It's kind of like that. On paper, it's not enough. And the angels are seeing it on paper because they don't feel compassion for you. Because they don't really care about you.
Because they'll view it as ribbis?
It's because... No, because I don't think they understand compassion. Angels don't have feelings. Angels are robots.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize what you were getting at. All right.
Hashem says, listen, angels, I understand that there are rules, but I feel bad for this neshama. I'm sending it back. In fact, I'm changing the rules that whatever level that this person is trying... As long as they're trying, they're harder. So no matter how many prerequisites have to be filled, I'm filling them anyway. So Hashem decides to send it back, even though on paper it's not worth it. Because to Hashem, it's worth it. It's almost as if there's two bars in heaven. There's one of our potential, what we could physically be, with our intellectual predilections and our physical predilections, etc. And then there is there's Hashem's bar.
Okay.
So we're supposed to only look at the first bar. Because if you look at the second bar, you'll not do as well, as you said, right? But, therefore, it's much easier to hit that second bar. Because as long as you're trying to reach the first bar, you automatically fulfill the second bar. And all you need to do is fulfill one bar. A mashal would be, if you look at a job, okay? You can look at a job in two ways. You want the biggest raise possible. The more work you complete, the more money you will make. Let's if it was as pure as that, okay? But you'll know that you'll never get to that $1 million you really want with 20,000. So maybe every day you get like a $10 raise. It's like, you know, it's really the long haul. But you're working like crazy, right? So you're gonna push yourself really, really, really hard. But when you know that at the end of the day, when you come home with just 20 grand, your wife's gonna be super, super happy, even though you don't have that very much. Like, you won't try as hard.
You can be content.
Right, exactly. You're never content because you want to fulfill that promise so much more, that deal so much more. So you keep pushing and pushing, and you get pluses from that also. You get payback a little bit because it's a joyful journey along the way, even though to you it doesn't sound like it, which is fine. But when you're really in it, it's very, very enjoyable.
It does. I didn't mean practically. I mean conceptually. It seemed like an unhealthy way for God to run the world, but truly, like that, we can't give him what he wants, almost. But I guess that's not what it is. The world is chesed, and God set it up so that he'll constantly have to give us breaks.
Right. Oh, I mean, but the thing is,
I don't like compare. I feel
what
like
what I'm saying is, I don't think that's really what it is, though. I really
is God for Son of Shemesh, is God saying you deserve to go back in?
Yeah.
And I'm not giving you any extra pull?
It depends. If you're trying your hardest, Hashem will say to the angels, no, you're wrong, he deserves to go back in. What probably happens for most of us...
Okay, that answers everything for me.
No, but most of the time, what probably happens is angels, I know he's not worth it, I know he's not trying his hardest, let's give him another chance. But for one to try his hardest, I don't think it's so far-fetched. For one to really sink their life into, like, religion, I don't think it's such a weird concept. Seeing that that's how, like, almost all people lived, like, before the 1300s, 1500s. Like, that's really how people live. Like, religion was such a massive part of their life. Like, to try to understand the Chazal, that there was such a thing as an Avodah Zarah, a taiva for Avodah Zarah. Like, I don't, like, that's a taiva, a drive, a pull.
I wonder if it was physical or not.
I don't know.
Because they make it sound so physical, but that's crazy, you
maybe
know?
Maybe it was manifest in that way, but...
And they said sexuality was weaker then, too, right?
They say, I have no idea if that's true. No clue. Could be. I don't know. I wouldn't say why, though.
Well, sexuality always has to be strong so the world, like, continues to create.
No, I mean, sexuality always existed. I'm not sure if it was stronger or weaker. I don't know. But anyway, so that's what we're saying. So number one, it's a Thanksgiving sort of thing. Thank Hashem in the past, push to the future. Great way to also, again, this is all this stuff is really good for relationships. If you're never expecting the future, then the good of that person, other person has done for you, is great. So you just keep on pushing, no matter like what happens now. And what happens in 5 minutes, because of what happened the last few years, you just keep going. Things get better. Okay? And also, Mipnei Malata Rav Shiroi Lecha. This is really interesting. And I find it interesting that Ben Yon calls this love. Because, does anybody know someone really awesome? No, not like, oh, that person's so awesome. Whatever. Like, someone awe-inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? You know someone like that? Like, you walk in the room, and you're just, like, a little bit...
I see qualities in people like that.
No? You don't know me very well, so I'm joking.
I just see qualities in people that are awe-inspiring, but I don't necessarily view that... Everyone has their thing, you know, that'll bother you or that whatever, but, like...
No, so I don't know. I know a few, very, very, very few, awe-inspiring people. I mean, they're really awe-inspiring. When they walk into the room, like, I feel, like, really different and almost silly, the fact that, like, I'm even in the same room with them. So, like, you'll do things for that person for no reason, even though that person doesn't even know your first name or last name or they've ever seen you before. Just because of that level. When you realize the awesomeness of God, you understand how could you not worship him? How could you not have a relationship with him? How you would classify that as love, I don't understand, personally. I'm trying to understand where I would feel the love in that. And the only thing I could really come up with, I'm not sure if I'm happy with it in my heart of hearts, though. I'm not sure if I'm just saying this here. That you love that. You love the idea. I shouldn't say the idea. The existence of a being so perfect that you love the connection. You love that such a thing exists. So therefore, you love that it exists. Therefore, you have shaykhs to it. People have like hero worship. Like, that person, or that superhero for, like, people who are a little bit younger, like, they're so amazing and huge that you just want to have a relationship with them, even though they'll never see you or understand what you are. They might even be fake because of just the idea of them. God kind of the same way. Like, you love the idea of God. You love the fact that God exists. How could you not have a relationship with him? But it's hard for me to understand that a little bit. I'm not sure I completely feel that. But Libinian classifies that as such. So, listen, I'm not a rabbinic master by any measure, any bar whatsoever. So I can just leave it as a question mark and go on. But I try to figure it out. That's the best I could come up with. Sorry. That's the best I could come up with, but I don't know. So anyway, that's how he classifies love. Thanksgiving and awesomeness. Okay? And I'm expecting an answer from one of you eventually. Okay? As it says in Devarim, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Now, again, he's pushing this. V'ahavtas Hashem, who's God? God is the person that gives you everything. So that's the first reason. Elokecha, your God. That's the awesomeness. So you see both of those variables within the pasuk. Hashem Elokecha, Hashem, the person who gave you everything before. Elokecha, your God. This kingly figure, okay, who's roy is appropriate to give all of this shevach to, all of this the servitude to, etc. Worship. Ve'ezu hi ahava shleima b'bnei adam. And what exactly is this love, wholesome love that is amongst men? Okay. Harotze la shamesh la ohavo mipnei avato oto miyomim excuse me, kadmonim. It's this desire for someone to service the person that he loves because of his love that he's given to him from days of old. Meaning another way of saying this is Rabbi Yonah says there's no such thing as unconditional love. It doesn't exist. It does not exist.
It's doing favors for each other.
For sure. So the true love, you don't know true love? It's not in fairy tales. True love is very simple. True love is I love this person so much because of all the things they've done for me in the past. Therefore, I love the person. Therefore, I have a relationship with that person. It's not free. And it goes all the way down to the most base of things. Like a mother to their child. A mother loves the fact that the child was born. Maybe not the birth process, but loves the fact that the child is born. Same thing for a father. You don't necessarily have it with a friend, but that friend did stuff for you. That friend was like laughed at your joke that first time. And was there for you. And you have fun with that person. So like all of a sudden you start creating sort of a love. But there's never like, you know, you meet someone and you don't even talk to them and instantly you love them.
So you could love someone you don't value and you could value someone you don't love.
Yeah.
And they really don't even go hand in hand.
V'afilu im yada shelo yitin lapras. Even if you know in the future the person's not going to give you anything. Just the fact that they gave you things in the past, okay? You will worship that person just out of love. And this sort of worship, man should do to Hashem, his holy creator. Notice here again, I don't know why, but the worshiping Hashem because he's so awesome, he left that reason out in his second explanation. Maybe it's because we're not talking about Hashem, we're talking about man, but he could have like used a king, I don't know. Again, I don't know exactly what happened with this reason here. V'alkein samach la'inyin ze hayira. Therefore, Yira was added at the end of this Mishnah. If we remember from a while back when we read this Mishnah,
fear ties in with the second one, right?
Hmm.
Fear ties in with the second one.
We're about to mention fear. So yeah, probably. And this is where my answer might come in. But if you look at the Mishnah, in the beginning we were very confused, all of us. And take in socho kiba mishim na tzadiko yaomer al tio agodin hamsham shemesarav al menas lekab press. Don't worship the master on the condition to receive the reward.
What does that mean?
Right.
We redefine love.
Exactly. Elo havuka avodin hamsham shemesarav shalom menas lekab press. Rather, you should service the master not on the condition to receive reward, or according to Rabbi Yonah, on the condition to not receive reward. Then it just says v'yishmor shemayim aleichem, and the fear of heaven should be upon you. What's this fear of heaven thing at the end? That's to do with anything that we just said. Why is this a new Mishnah? So Rabbi Yonah clips it together. V'yishmor shemayim aleichem, and the fear of heaven should be upon you. La'avodet Hashem mi'avo mi'ira, to serve Hashem with love and with fear.
Neither of which we really needed before. We kind of needed love, but not fear.
What do you mean? Why didn't we need fear?
Fear is the new one.
Right, exactly. Love came first. Which is also fascinating. And I think that's true. I don't know. I hear this all the time. We need to focus on fearing Hashem first and then loving Him. People don't fear God today. I think it's much easier to love God than fear Him today.
Why would we fear Him? He hasn't tested us.
That's how we look at it.
Well, that's how humans work.
I think that's a more recent concept.
Well, because back then, people were tested. People saw pain.
No, because there's these black edges of society where it still exists. I'll give you an example. One of the most common things, like women and infertility. I'm writing about this in our Smicha classes.
Happy Women's Day, by the way.
Is it Women's Day?
Or something like that.
National Women's Day.
It's National Women's Day.
So how many cakes did you bring me? What the heck?
We thought you were supplying them for National Women's
Anyways,
Day. Anyways. So. I don't think you want our cake either. It's all smashed up against our friend.
Okay.
You're right about that.
Charlie, what was I saying? What was I saying? Shoot, had something really good to say. Come on. Before you interrupted
before, I'm sorry.
No,
before
it's fine.
I killed the wavelength.
What?
Before Women's Day ruined everything, what happened?
Something about Women's Day.
What were you saying? Why did I bring up women?
If I was a Shemi Ava or Mayira.
Yura came second.
Oh, there you go. Lost it again. Okay, rest. Lava did the Shemi Ava Mayira. You should worship Hashem with love and. Oh, the black box. Stop, I got it now. Okay? Women and infertility issues.
Yeah,
when
there you go.
When they have infertility issues, the first thing they say, one of the first things they say, okay? This is God punishing me. Even the most not religious affiliate. I'm just talking about Jews.
Everyone associates birth as a miracle.
Most people do. I'm not sure
everybody.
I feel
like almost anyone who's gone through it does not feel like they can conceptually understand what really happened, especially someone who went through it.
If they know about it.
Huh?
I don't know. I knew about it.
You know how it works.
Still pretty.
I don't think so, man.
I don't think my dad thinks it's a miracle.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I don't want to say everybody. He wants to say everybody. I'm not sure I want to say everybody.
Yeah,
sorry.
Educated. I think that's what it was in the past. But people thought everything was from God because they didn't know the reasons for why everyone was dying from disease and like.
But you see how amazing it is. You see, like.
No, they had fake science. They thought it was right. I'm not sure that's accurate.
So
people had fake science. They knew exactly. They knew that the fact that if you know you eat this herb that grows on like a mushroom,
from God.
What?
A lot of the things they just assumed it was like punishment from God.
Why?
Because they didn't know why it was happening.
But they did know why. They explained that it was because you ate meat in the third day of it, and you should have only eaten the meat on the fourth day that it rotted.
I think both things have.
Or you walked outside walking alone.
A lot of things had like religious explanations, though, like Shubi just said.
In certain time periods, like in medieval time periods,
yeah, I'm not talking about like
Dark Ages.
The people, the rotting. Give me examples. There are medical advice that appears all over in the Gemara that is very clear is not religiously pushed. Like it came from observation, and they talked about the doctors of their times.
But like famine, also in the Torah,
okay.
How many times famine comes because God was punishing us?
Okay. I'm not saying everything, but I don't think it's as common or as rampant as you might wish it to be.
Back to topic, though.
I think it's kind of on topic. And in the Gemara, and the Gemara talks about for 6 days in a row, we should like boil chicken first and then eat it. Or fish is best to eat right before it spoils. And it's not religiously grounded. Like, they had their own science. Whether it was correct or not is a different discussion. To have a change, whatever. But what I'm trying to tell you is that it's more. Society as a whole has changed. It's not just the knowledge. Knowledge changes society. So I'm saying that's part of it, but that's not all of it. There's a lot more to it.
What did we ask?
Was the black box in
it? Okay.
So I'm about to say.
No, but there was some point I went to that. It was about that, but right before that.
It's gonna get there.
All right, I'll remember.
All right, yeah.
I forgot.
That's gonna get there.
I was trying to end you. I was just trying to remember when I said back to Todd, I was trying to remember what I wanted to ask.
People today still have this attribution to God, okay? And it's really difficult for people to register that as Yira. Now, what might be better is for us to register that as love. If you know, like the classic sefer that everybody's learning this modern Orthodox Shiva is now that hooks a bunch of guys in, is the sefer called the Nesiva Shalom. It's Chasidus, and it's like the first nice. Like, really warm, totally warm, without, like, any, like, you know, claws coming at you from the sefer that ever has been written. It is the most unjudgmental sefer in the world, and it's just about love, and it just pulls guys left and right. People aren't from, boom, pulls them in a week. Like, it happened here in Chicago, too. I just see it happen. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about it, but it happens all the time.
We've seen kids get...
it's not because it's a bad, it's a wonderful sefer, but... I think love is speaking a lot more to this generation, or rather this era, than not.
What explanation were you going to give for why women say God's punishing me in that specific thing? I thought.
I was never going to give an explanation because of why that is. I'm not quite sure. But
you're just pointing out that's an example of a fear-based belief.
A fear-based belief, and that it still exists today to some extent.
Although
it's difficult to find. Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's difficult to find. It exists. There is one realm that's the default. But that's not the standard anymore, okay? So that's why I think Ava might be a better way to go. But anyway, it happens to be that Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avos defines Ahava. The Mishnah tells you to love Hashem before he tells you to fear Hashem. Usually, right. We assume the other way around. But I'm just pointing that out. The Mishnah is telling you to love Hashem first. Anyway, like the servant that worships his master because of his greatness. And also, he should think, I know that this awesome person can punish me. I know. This person has a whip the size of the universe. I understand this. And therefore, you'll find that the person is going to be worshiping out of fear, just like I would worship my master if I was bought as a slave. Because my master is necessarily going to punish me. I just know that he... the reason why... Because if it was just because, oh gosh, he's going to punish me, then only when he would start to begin to punish me would I do this like weird sort of, you know, like mice. Like, you know, like the second there's an issue, they jump back. Then only would I feel really bad about it. But no, it's because I know that in the future, he has the power to punish me. And if I don't do things right, he might punish me. So it should enter my mind that because it's because he could punish me. Because I know he has the ability to punish me, so I feel some of that yira. Not because he is punishing me, not from the punishment itself, it's just the fact that he could punish me. I'm going to give you an example of this in a second, okay? Rather, because of the greatness of the master, because he has in his hands the power to serve him. I'll explain it to you like this, okay? Let's say you have, you know, your four-year-old, like nephew or cousin or whatever, that comes over and says, play with me, and you totally ignore him, and he says, if you don't play with me, I'm going to kick you. And like, you know, he like does this really pathetic thing where he tries to kick you and like it just tickles a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. So like, are you in awe of this kid and his ability to hurt you?
No.
How about this? Let's say, okay, you had, I don't know, like this mutant Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who's I think a big wrestler or something like that. Okay?
Actor, whatever.
Imagine this huge, just like mean, whatever. Okay? And he's in front of you. So you're really scared. Not because if he's, I mean, you're just walking by like, you know, or Arnold Schwarzenegger if he's in a bad mood. He's not going to punish you. He's not going to do anything to you. But I guarantee you. You're going
to
open that door for him if he's right behind you and make sure he walks through. Not because he will punish you, because he could. So, I mean, Lahavdel. To an infinite amount, Hashem, in the same way, the sense that Hashem has the ability to destroy the universe and your soul and whatever in an instant. So therefore, you want to feel that fear. Not because Hashem's saying, if you don't do this, I'm going to get you. No. Hashem didn't just make like the world and say, okay, act. Because if not, I will punish you. That's not how Hashem runs the world. Hashem ran the world. He created the world. You're supposed to see the awe in the world. You're supposed to see the amazingness, the depth of the world. And understand the aspect that Hashem is so vast and so awesome that you fear him because of that. But not like this puny sort of fear that if I don't do this, I get whipped. That's like a lesser form. So it's because Hashem is so up there that I feel this yira. But even though he's so up there, okay, I also love him. Because this same amazing, crazy, awesome being is the same one that allowed me to be brought into this world. It's the same one that gave me my first breath. It's the same one that gave me my parents. It's the same one, etc. So it's that combination. But again, the first thing that you realize is that every little thing that you have is all from God. And that's again why I think, like kids, I think you can instill some sort of Ava from Hashem. Like when you're 6 years old and, you know, I knew this kid. I remember growing up, he came from a little bit richer family. And so the father had like this really big shot job, whatever, made lots of money. So he'd be like, Dad, can you go over to the money tree? Like, I really want some more money. It's so cool that you make some more money. Like, he would like talk to that. So he'd pull out like hundreds and give it to his kid. Like, his father was the one that like, so his father was really cool. Understand? But you can instill like awe by saying like, listen, you know, God this. Aren't you happy that mom came today? You're so lucky to have mom like mom. Because Hashem gave you mom. Like, but really, you can actually instill this like sort of direct connection to Hashem in children. Yira, they don't understand. You can't understand that if you don't do this, kid, Hashem will eat up your Olam Haba. He will eat it up in front of you. They don't know what that means.
They never felt the whip before.
Now, even if you threaten your kid, they don't necessarily believe that you're going to do it because they can't even think that far ahead. But they can think in the past. If you tell them to remember something that happened, they'll remember. If you ask something about something in the future, hard for them to imagine it. And even if they do, they won't care. Or they usually won't care. Because children want things now, right? So the Ahava can be installed in a really, really, really young age. Ahava, thank you, Hashem, for what they gave before. Yira, I fear Hashem because of his awesomeness and his ability to do things. So that's what this Mishnah is trying to tell you. This Mishnah is a little tiny like gem because it's exactly your base relationship to Hashem. You love him because of what he did, and you fear him because of what he could do. Is that clear? Does that make sense?
Yeah, just go off.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I like how we separated the kid analogy was good because all people are stupid as in we kids more so but we don't think about the future either.
No, we don't. But I think that's more
so,
of a,
so it's cool how the other one was first.
I think it's also kind of our. I'm part of this generation, part of this problem. But like I don't know. I feel like now we think less. I'm not sure if that's accurate. In any case, I'm not going to keep you guys too much later. So, Shkayach, thank you all for coming. Next time, we'll get to start a new Mishnah. If I'm not mistaken. Which is a very, 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 very exciting Mishnah.
Is the Lord going to hate you for?
What? No. You're going to hate me. You're going to hate me in the Mishnah after that.
Why are you going to hate you?
So we better hang out before that.
I don't know.
Yes.